SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Ben, thank you for inviting us down. Nice to see you and to speak to you. Let's go straight into it. I mean, you said in the summer this football club should always be in around the top six in the Championship. But so we're speaking here in the November break. It's 23rd in the table, only sort of crisis club Sheffield Wednesday beneath it. 9 points. Manager's obviously just gone. New one just hired. What has gone so wrong so far this season?
Look. We're nowhere near where we want to be, where we need to be, and where we expected to be. I take full accountability for that, clear about that. Like you said, a club of this stature in this league, we should always be looking to get promoted. And you know, I feel we did a lot of good things in the summer, and ultimately, to see us in this position now is really difficult. But I'm determined for us to turn it around. Results have been nowhere near good enough. Everyone can see that. We've lost way too many games. I think we should have more points than we have, but still, it's not been acceptable for this club, and ultimately, that's why we had to make the decision that we did. But as I said, it's on me. We're not providing a team that the fans deserve right now, and I accept accountability for that.
And in terms of that, you will know there's an online petition. I think about 1,500 fans have signed it. There's been protests inside the ground, outside the ground. A lot of the chants were aimed at you and in your direction rather than Liam at that Leicester game. I guess a lot of fans would want to know, what can you say to them to convince them to come back on site, to repair that relationship, as you kind of said in your quotes, because a lot of them, quite frankly, would like to see you gone.
I don't think it's about words, you know. There's nothing that I can say that will convince them. It's about us, you know, taking action and winning games on the field. That's what it boils down to. We're not doing that. I understand that, and that's on me. Talk is ultimately cheap. And, you know, whilst I think there's good things that we've done and could point to, it's not the time for that. We've not won anywhere near enough games, and we've lost way too many. And for this club to be sat in the position that we're in now is completely unacceptable, and that's on me.
You sat, I think it was in this room sort of earlier on in the summer after sacking Johannes, and I think it might have even been Paddy that asked you in terms of it would be your judgment that would be kind of brought into question if Liam Manning didn't, or whoever the next head coach at that stage was, didn't go the way it is planned. He's sort of left the club as the shortest permanent Norwich City manager, lowest win rate, highest loss rate. What about that appointment went so wrong again, to get to sort of repeat the question?
That's the question that I've been asking myself as well, and we go back to the point at which we made that decision to bring Liam to the club, and we felt that it was the right one. Experience in the league, had a connection to the club, playing style, whilst a different variation on Johannes, still, you know, his Bristol team had good control high up the pitch and good attacking numbers, and we felt that there was a good fit there, but ultimately it didn't play out that way, and the results speak for themselves, and we tried to fight through it and give as much time as possible. But when you approach the November international break, you know that that's probably the last moment that if you're going to make a change, you can do so in a slightly more controlled manner, and we tried to hang on, but ultimately, you know, the results spoke for themselves and we couldn't. And I think what made it hard, Connor, was just the repeating nature of how we were losing that I think was difficult. It felt like we were seeing the same game over and over again, where we, you know, have good control and play quite well for large spells, particularly in the first half or first hour of games, but ultimately don't score and then concede often a poor goal, and and then just fade away in a second half, both mentally and physically. And ultimately that was, you know, something that we couldn't allow to continue. And even though we tried to fight through it and give as much time as possible to try and turn it around, we couldn't hold off any longer. And I felt that it was the right decision and we were forced to do it.
And I think that's the point, because I think a lot of fans maybe would have liked to have seen that change made earlier. I think if you looked at aspects of the data, there was cause there for real concern quite early on in the season. What made you want to give it time, apart from, I guess, time itself and hoping that would solve some of the problems that were clearly there?
Yeah, I would say performances, to be honest, in a lot of those recent games before the point came that we decided to take the decision to remove Liam, you know. And again, it's easy to sit here and say, you know, we should have more points. But I think I look at games like Derby, I look at West Brom at home, I think we did enough to win those games, but ultimately we didn't. And, you know, there's only so long that you can wait for the result to hopefully match the performance. And as I said, the repeating nature of how we were losing games was a big concern. And ultimately some of those performances were what made me think, look, maybe we can fight through this and pull through, because I think there were some games where we deserved far more. I think West Brom had one shot on target and we walk away thinking, how did we not win it? And actually we lost it. But again, it's on me. We've not delivered anywhere near at the level that we expect, that we need to, that we want to, and that the fans deserve. And I take accountability for that. This isn't a case of change the head coach and everything's fine. No, there's mistakes that I've made that, yeah, I need to put right and find solutions to that before now I've not been able to do.
What are those mistakes do you feel that you've made, and how are you going to learn from them moving forward? Because I guess that's the point that maybe fans will be looking at.
I think a big piece around the player availability is one. We've had issues there for a while, even into previous seasons. That's on me. I'm responsible for that, and I've not been able to find the reasons. It's a difficult area that's very convoluted and lots of different aspects that go into it, so it can be hard to isolate the exact issue. We've tried to do that. We conducted an internal review at the end of last season, came up with things that we wanted to change and go after, but ultimately they didn't work. And if anything, I felt like it's become worse this year. We've intensified those efforts and commissioned an external audit with a performance consultancy to see again if there's any perspective that they can help provide, because that's an area that we've failed in. We've not been able to get our players on the pitch consistently enough in the right shape. And again, we can speak about recruitment and strategy, but if we can't get our players on the pitch consistently enough, then it's going to be very difficult. And I think that's been the case, and it certainly was the case for Liam's tenure, which I think was a big contributing factor. But that's not misfortune or bad luck, that's us not working in a good enough way and me not working in a good enough way, and it's on me to turn that around.
And I will come back to fitness in a little while, but just back to kind of the two head coaches, they're clearly two coaches that you identified. I think we could see at different points that they are talented coaches. You gave them long contracts. Yanis Ovtorek had a 3-year contract, Liam had a 4-year contract. The fact that you've got rid of one after 10 months and another after just over 5, again, has that sort of made you reflect on yourself and what went so wrong about those processes, and maybe what the culture is like here, that talented coaches come to this club and seemingly struggle to perform and have done, to be fair, prior to your arrival?
Yeah, I think we reflect on everything all the time, for good, bad, or anything in between. We're always looking at, you know, how did that situation play out? Was it good? Was it bad? If so, why? How can we then refine our process for the next time? So absolutely. I think, you know, there were lots of learnings from the Johannes hire and how that played out, and the same from Liam. And I think a big part of us bringing Philippe here is really to try to address some of those issues that we've had on the physical and performance side. I think he's a coach that has got a really strong track record of that. His teams are always very well prepared physically, aggressive, and his availability record is also really good. That was a big driver in wanting to bring Philippe here, but it's always the case that we'll reflect and learn, and we have to, because if we don't find a way to address this quickly, then I understand the consequences for me personally, and that's how it works, and I'm committed to turning this round, and we've played less than a third of a season and I'm convinced that we will, and I've still got the fight and the energy to do this and give every minute of my day to try and turn it around, and we will.
And in terms of that, do you feel slightly fortunate that you've been given another opportunity here, because I think at many clubs we know how brutal football is. Often one mistake is kind of enough. There's been two head coaches, a third one I think there were question marks about from some fans about whether you should get that, whether you deserve to get that. Do you feel fortunate that you've kind of been given that responsibility from the ownership, and has the messaging always been that way?
Yeah, look, I feel fortunate to be in this position full stop, even from day one. And yeah, I understand. I understand why my judgment would be called into question. I would do the same if I looked from the outside and saw this club in 23rd position in the Championship. I would look in and say something's not right there. So I fully accept that. Everybody's entitled to the view. And yeah, I understand that this is an important moment for me and my future here as well. So absolutely. But my focus every day is on trying to turn this around and move us in the right direction. And of course, the last 2 weeks has all been about a process to bring a new head coach in. And now it's about trying to support Philippe in the best way to give him and us every chance of changing our fortunes and climbing back up the table.
I mean, when you came in, you were very clear in terms of the style of football that you wanted to see. Clearly worked under Arsene Wenger for a long period of time, so you'd understand that would be set. I think maybe there's the consistency point that some fans would raise, that there was a bit of a lurch in style, and we haven't seen a Philippe Clement Norwich City team yet, but you look at some of the stuff that he's done, and it maybe feels there's a possibility to do that again. Is there enough of a consistent idea? Have you lurched too much from coach to coach in terms of style, do you think, with reflection?
Yeah, look, Johannes had a clear style of play that I think aligned well with what I'd set out before that appointment. When I look at Liam's Bristol City team, they were, yeah, really good attacking numbers, had high field tilt. Yes, a little bit more pragmatic in build-up, less phase one possession and a bit more vertical, but good attacking numbers. And obviously a team that performed really well last year. So I think that there are a lot of things that aligned. Of course, every coach is always going to be slightly different in terms of principles and ways of setting up. And yeah, it's never going to be the case that you just move from one coach to another that's a carbon copy. But I can understand from a general point of view why fans feel that there's an inconsistency with things, because ultimately we've had change and that's not the kind of way that we want to operate. We want to try to find a consistent rhythm and a coach and a stability with everything that we do. So yeah, I accept why people would think that. Again, from the outside, if I was a supporter, I'd probably be thinking exactly the same. But you know, Philippe again is a coach that is very attack minded, you know, plays aggressive, very attacking football, high scoring. So I think there are similarities that run between the three, even if there's always going to be differences in approach in different phases with and without the ball.
And in terms of that kind of vision, do you feel maybe personally, but also I guess as a club, that you've sold something to fans enough? Because I think there is still this feeling of, you know, we know we want to develop players, we want to kind of upsell them, so to speak. But maybe beyond that, there are a few fans scratching behind kind of what the process is, what the journey is that they're being asked to take on board. Is that something that you've kind of reflected on as well, that maybe you haven't given them enough to buy into from a substance perspective?
Yes, I think it's definitely something that I can do better. But as well, Connor, to be honest, you know, it's not about talking now. We're in a position in the league that is wholly unacceptable. So it's not about me sitting here saying we want to do this, or we've learned from this, or we're going to do that. Now's the time for action. We have to improve, and quickly, because where we are now is not where this club should ever be. So again, I take full responsibility for that. It's on me. I've not delivered at the level that I need to, and I'm working every single minute of every day to try and turn that around. But yeah, as I said, it's now about actions rather than words.
This is clearly your first role as a sporting director. I think we can all see the size of club and the size of job it has been. Has it been bigger, harder than you anticipated to get this moving in the direction that ultimately you would have wanted?
Listen, I knew what I was coming into when I signed up to come here. It was also a step that I'd been preparing to take for, you know, a good couple of years before I actually did. So I don't think I've been shocked by anything in that sense. You know, the scale of change in a short period of time and just how hard we've leaned into a new strategy, maybe, you know, on reflection, that's something that I underestimated. You know, just how much squad churn and how hard we leaned into an approach to bring young players from overseas markets and trying to integrate them all at the same time. yeah, maybe that's something that was something that I underestimated and misjudged. But yeah, not the role generally per se. I knew the demands that come with these roles, and I was ready for that, and I accept everything that comes with it. And that's why when fans are vocal with how they feel and what they think, I've got no issue with that. I understand that that's what they're entitled to do, and as long as everybody does it in the right way, no problem, and I accept that, and it's on me, and I have to turn it around because they deserve more than what I am giving them at the minute.
And I'm sure from a human perspective, and look, I've certainly never been in that position, most people watching, reading, listening won't be in that position, I'm sure there is a human side of it. Has it ever come across your mind of actually, that's enough, I can't deal with this anymore, or has it provoked that sort of fighting spirit within you to turn this around?
Exactly that. If anything, it just makes me more determined. You know, nobody is more frustrated or self-critical than me. So yeah, I'm committed to this 100%. I still have the fire in my belly, the energy, and if anything, like you said, it makes me more determined, because yeah, I know what I'm capable of. I know that I can turn this around, and I'm convinced that we will. And yeah, like I said, it's not about talking, it's about us doing that. And yeah, hopefully over the next weeks and months, everybody will see.
In terms of recruitment, I mean, there were some reflections there, and I think Mark Attanasio touched upon this in the interview that he did. Do you almost, and again, hindsight's a wonderful tool, it's how we kind of assess everything, but does it feel now, with the benefit of hindsight, that maybe that squad in the business in the summer was geared too much towards potential rather than sort of consistency and I guess championship readiness that could be offered in the here and now?
I don't think so, Connor, to be honest, because I think our biggest challenge so far has been around that availability piece. And again, that's not unlucky. That's not working in a good enough way. And that's on me. That's my responsibility. But I think too many of the players that we've brought in, we haven't been able to see consistently. You know, I think of players like Matthias Kvistgaard, who I think, you know, people can see his quality even in a small sample of minutes. We've not seen him consistently out there. I think Papa Diallo was showing some really promising signs before. He's been out for a number of weeks. And unfortunately, that's been the case with far too many. So I think it's more been that. You know, as I said, we've been highly active in that strategy to bring young players, and I think we've not managed their integration well enough. And that responsibility sits with me, and we're doing everything we can to turn that around.
I want to ask you about data, because I think there is this preconception that if you try and make decisions based on data, that it's data from start to end in terms of signing a player. Clearly, there are other aspects that you use. Can you explain kind of the role of data and how it has kind of helped with your recruitment, and I guess the role that it does play in bringing a player here?
Yeah, look, data is never going to be the sole answer to anything. It's not like we push a button and just, you know, it comes up with a player name and we go and sign them. That's not how it works. It's about trying to be efficient with our resource. And, you know, there's thousands of players all over the world, and it's impossible for us to have a scouting network that's capable of following all of those on the ground. So data helps us filter a huge, kind of pool of players and filter in a smart way that can help us channel our resources more effectively. So it's an important part of how we work, but it's not the only part of how we work. And we do so much on the subjective side as well, so much that's in-person, live scouting, speaking, getting references, understanding the person, their psychology, speaking to former coaches, how do they work, how do they respond in difficult moments, what's their family situation, all of those things come into it as well. So data is an important part, but it's just one part of multiple that help us make decisions, and that's always the way that it will be here.
And that was the point I was going to stress, because I think there is a view amongst some, not everyone, that you sign a player based on what they look like on a spreadsheet or on a certain stat, but there's clearly, like you say, layers to the process that do involve human eyes and do involve different routes of watching and looking at a player before they come here.
Absolutely. You know, Lee Dunn and his team obviously drive most of our efforts in that space, but it's an important part of signing a player. We would never sign a player that's based purely on numbers. You know, it's a piece of the jigsaw that helps give us a perspective, but it's just one perspective of many. So yeah, it's always a balance. We're committed to working in a systematic and objective way, and data helps that, but it, you know, you can't ever replace, you know, the feel and things that we can't measure right now. And being cognizant of what you can and can't understand with data, I think, is a really important starting point. And yeah, again, it's something that we're refining all the time, how we integrate it into our processes to be even more effective. But it will never be the only answer.
Final few, I mean, on that recruitment perspective, there was clearly an outgoing, we haven't had the opportunity to speak to you about Marcelino Nunez's move. How do you reflect on that? And I guess, are there any regrets, given the noise that there has subsequently been around that, about how that unfolded and ultimately him moving to Ipswich?
Yeah, a really difficult decision, and not one that I took lightly at the time. I knew that it was going to be, you know, tough for people to understand, and it was going to be an emotive one, of course. But, you know, let's be clear, Marcelino's a player that we made multiple advances to re-sign at this club. We didn't want to see him leave. We wanted to continue to work with him, and he made it clear that he didn't. And then on top of that, he made it clear that he wanted to go and play for our biggest rival. And as soon as he said that, I felt his position in this group was somewhat untenable. So it was a difficult call, but with all of the information on the table and obviously an offer that was multiples of his current market value, I felt that it was the right decision. You know, in my mind as well, Connor, I was playing through a scenario where we don't sell him, he stays here. What version of that player would we have had for this season? Would we want him in our group, knowing he wants to play for our biggest rival? And then he leaves at the end of the season on a free to them anyway. And that was also something in my mind. So a really difficult decision. And, you know, in this role, I'm faced with them frequently, and I don't think I've got them all right by any stretch of the imagination, but if I had my time again, I think I would make the same decision on that.
I guess the pushback on that would be, if he'd have stayed at the club, if he'd have ran his contract down and then joined Ipswich, Andy Marshall did something relatively similar, that's then on him, isn't it? I guess that it's the focus that maybe it's brought on the club. I think Mark Ashton has done a piece kind of saying if the shoe was on the other foot, he wouldn't have sold. I know Mark Attanasio kind of described it as an own goal as well. But you're pretty clear that there isn't anything that you would have changed in that process. The noise hasn't been too great that it's kind of convinced you that it was the wrong decision.
No, I get it. I honestly understand. And I knew that was going to be the case at the time. With all of the information and factoring everything in, I felt that it was the right call. And even though I knew that it was going to be a difficult one and was going to come with a lot of challenge, I think that would be my position.
Just final couple. I mean, we've kind of spoken about the fitness element of it and the role that it's played this season. Like you say, it's not a new problem. There was a big portion of last season where I think that quartet of Nunez, McLean, Sargent and Gunn maybe weren't available to Johannes Ovtorup. You said you kind of did a review in the summer, and again you very candidly said that maybe didn't go the way that you would like. Some of the players that you did sign, I guess this would maybe be the counter. Papa Diallo played, I think, one full 90 minutes in his club last year. Mateus Criscorin has obviously picked up injuries as well. What can you do to prevent this, and what sort of are the recommendations that you feel that external sort of company will help you to make and reach that will ultimately change this sort of trend that has emerged over a long period, maybe even predating you in fairness?
Yeah, I think the team's not fit enough right now. I think we need to...
Is that as a result of pre-season and the way that was structured?
Yeah, I don't think we got pre-season right. I think that was a factor. But as is always the case with, you know, physical performance and athlete health, there's lots of layers that go into it, and it's never just one thing that causes a problem. So it's many things, but I don't think we got pre-season right. I don't think we did enough extensive work that gave the players enough of a base. And then, I think that with Philippe, our schedule will be more intense. We'll train more. We'll be in the building more days. And I think that will be important as well. So there's lots of different things with how we prepare, how we recover. And, you know, it's been a process that's been uncomfortable internally as well, to bring an external consultancy in and lift under the bonnet and really scrutinise everything that we're doing has been tough for the staff as well. But it's necessary because we have to find the answer. I have to find the answer. It's on me. I've not been able to do that so far. The efforts internally over the summer didn't render the answer. And, you know, changing the head coach is a big part of that. And as I said, that was a key component in why we wanted to bring Philippe here. But it's something that we have to solve and quickly. And we know it's not the kind of thing that can change from one day to the next. But certainly, you know, in 4 or 6 weeks from now, I'd like to think that we're in a much better place in that space, with the team better placed to compete at a level where, yeah, we don't consistently fade in second halves, and we're in a condition where I think that we've got, you know, chances to win games and be way more competitive than we have.
And just finally, I mean, we've kind of touched around all of the aspects of it, and again, go back to a word that, or a kind of phrase you used in your quotes around Liam's departure in terms of needing to repair the relationship with fans. I think that is the sense. It does feel a little bit broken, all of this. I mean, Liam kind of alluded, without expanding maybe, that there were kind of bigger issues at play, in his opinion, and clearly we'd have to ask him, and he's not here to kind of explain maybe what he felt those were. Look, winning games is always the answer, I guess, but how, in your mind, do you begin to put this all back together beyond just what happens on the pitch with those fans?
Look, I think when I reflect on me and the way I've engaged with fans, I think I can do a better job there, and, you know, be more visible in moments. But again, you know, the balance is always fine, because, you know, talk is cheap as well, and we're at the point where, you know, we have to deliver, Connor. Like, we're 23rd in the league, and we're a long way away from what's expected and what we hope to be this season and what I feel we can be. But, you know, I'm convinced that we can turn this around. We've got some really good players. We've got an elite European head coach of real prominence that has demonstrated his ability to work with players of the type and nature that we have, and with everything that we're trying to do to solve issues on the performance side, I think we absolutely can get where we want to. We've played less than a third of the season. There's, you know, a lot of games still to go, and I'm convinced that we'll start to move up the table and focus on the top part of the league rather than the bottom.
Ben Napper, thank you very much.
Thanks.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.